I would love you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. We're just going to look at a few sentences from 1 John chapter 1. We're going to try and think together how this helps us to understand this time of Christmas and how we might respond to this time of year. So let me read 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Why don't we pray? Let's pray that God would help us just to unpack these sentences. Wherever you're coming from this afternoon, if you're very new to being a Christian, perhaps you're not a Christian at all, or perhaps you've been a Christian for many years, wherever you're coming from, let's ask that God would show us something this afternoon from his word. Father, please would you help us now? Please speak to us by the power of your spirit from this ancient and yet true and relevant word. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great, so just a few sentences. What I thought I'd do is I'd show you kind of, when I come to a bit of the Bible, what do you do with it? How do you make a start? Well, one of the things you can do is try and look for the structure. Try and look for what's happening in the sentences. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to show you how these few sentences break down, and then we're going to look at what all that means. So here's where it starts. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. That's quite a big statement. This guy, John, was one of the apostles, one of Jesus' closest friends. And John makes this incredible statement. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. He's saying, here's the headline. You want a summary of my message, a summary of my gospel? This is it. And notice that John declares it. This isn't an opinion. This isn't a thought or an idea. This isn't a suggestion. This is a declaration. It's very important in life that you understand the difference between an opinion and a declaration, an announcement. You will find yourself in a lot of mess if you treat opinions as declarations and declarations as opinions, right? You can see how that could go wrong for you. We live in a world that is surrounding us with opinions. There are opinions everywhere around us. And it's very easy for us to fall into the trap of taking the opinions of others and making them into declarations that are absolutely true. I mean, this is a farcical idea. Try listening to the adverts, right? Try watching a bunch of adverts and saying, imagine I took that as a declaration on my life. You can see that that's going to go badly wrong. And yet we can spend a lot of time doing that. Even this Christmas, we will care about the opinions of others and suddenly make our whole identity, our whole reality, based upon an opinion of what someone else says to us. Isn't that true? For some of us, we live with that experience. Someone's opinion of us has entirely formed our identity. We've taken it as a declaration over our lives. And at the same time, we can take declarations that God makes and treat them like opinions. So we read things in the Bible and we say, well, I don't really like that. I'm going to treat that as an opinion that I can choose to accept or not. The Apostle John says, no, what I'm saying to you is a declaration. Because John says, we heard it from him. We heard it from him. Who is the him? We've got to read the first few verses to work that out. It's the him who has appeared, the life who has appeared. The one who had body and flesh is Jesus. Jesus who John spent 3 years with. And Jesus says, I heard this from him, and so I'm going to declare it to you. Because he's the Son of God. That word, declare, has as part of it the word angel. Because angel is a messenger, a declaration. So if you imagine the angels appearing in the sky to the shepherds, making a declaration, today in David's town, a savior has been born. That's a declaration. And we need to understand that the good news we have at Christmas is not an opinion that we need to share. It is a declaration that we need to make to our world. The light has come. So there's the first bit. This is the message you've heard from him declare to you. Right. What is it then? What is John's summary? God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. That is John's great declaration to the world. We're going to come back to that in a second. We think, what does that mean? Why is that important? But if you follow on through the structure of the passage, this declaration is then followed by a challenge or a warning. So here's the warning or challenge. Listen, verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Here's the declaration. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. The warning, the challenge is if you claim to have fellowship with God and don't walk in the light, then you're lying. That's the challenge. But then, verse 7, there's a great encouragement. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, all we've got to do in the next few minutes is piece all of these bits together in order to understand what this paragraph is saying. How does the declaration, the challenge, and the encouragement all come together to show us the nature of Christ? Everyone up for that? We happy? Great. You have so little option. Anyway, so let's go back to the declaration. Are you surprised that John's summary of the gospel, the good news, is God is light? If you'd walked in here today and I'd said to you, if you've been around church for a little while, and I'd said to you, what is your summary of the gospel? What is the gospel? I don't think any of you would have said, the gospel is God is light. And yet John, who spent 3 years with Jesus, says, this is the message we declare, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. You see, that is the good news. I think the reason we find it surprising is because it's not about us. Isn't that disappointing? It doesn't say anything about me. It just says God. Because the declaration that John wants to make to the world is a declaration that is about who God is, his character. And before it's about me and before it's about us and my life and my hopes and my dreams or my forgiveness or my salvation, before it's any of those things, it's about him. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. So we need this Christmas to get our eyes away from ourselves and up to see more of who he is, more of his character, in order that we might know this gospel better. Okay, so let me ask you the question. God is light. Do you like that? Does that grip you? Is that like, whoa, yeah, great. God is light. I mean, I guess light's good, isn't it? You get a Christmas present, it's a new light. You know, it's nice. Useful. You know, such a help just to think about what it's like to be in the dark. Yeah, light's good. And yet, I wonder if there's something in us that's a little bit underwhelmed by the idea of God being light. Well, what I'm trying to do, I want to just spend the next couple of minutes trying to enlarge your view of what it means that God is light. You see, we could sit here and say, oh, what's good about light? Light is warm, light is nice, light is bright. And then we say, oh, that's good, because that means God is warm and nice and bright. That's a rubbish way to read the Bible. The way to read the Bible is to say, if there's a Bible word, you should ask, I wonder what it means in the Bible. Because Bible words have Bible meanings. I wonder if John gives us any hints as to what the word light means. What is it that John is thinking of? Well, it's one of his favorite words. Because John didn't just write one John, he also wrote John. The gospel. And what you discover is that light is one of the big ideas that John uses. But in order to understand what light is, you have to connect it to two other words. I think John's gospel forces you to do this, and 1 John. Light has to be connected to love. And it has to be connected to life. These three words in John's gospel are used really together, right? They feed one another. So our definition of what light means, as soon as you begin to think about light in John's gospel, it must lead you to think about life. So John says things like about Jesus, in him was light, and that light was the life of men. Jesus says, I am the light of life. And so you discover that as soon as you're talking about light, you're also talking about life. You can't separate those two things. But then as soon as you start talking about light and life, you also discover that you're talking about love. Because the light that we're talking about in John's gospel is the light of love. So listen to this, just in the same, just a little bit later in the book of 1 John, where John says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Light and love. Light, life, love. These three ideas circle around one another. Which means that when John writes God is light, we're not supposed to think about some abstract, sterile, bright, kind of like strip light that floats. Instead, we're supposed to think about an animating, powerful, life-giving, love-bringing God. God is light. And John is very clear that this light of God, that it's an exclusive thing, right? Light is very exclusive in its demands. Light doesn't tolerate. It's a very intolerant light. Have you noticed this? Light is very intolerant of darkness. Light doesn't rock up and say, hey, darkness, why don't we be friends? Why don't we both hang out here for a bit? No. Because light overcomes the darkness. Light drives out darkness. Light defeats darkness. Light always wins. And that's why John can write, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So get this, there is nothing in God that spoils him. Nothing in God that he is ashamed of. There is not a scandal in his past that God is hiding, hoping that some files won't be released that suddenly expose him to the world. He's light, there's nothing dark in him at all. Do you see that? That's good. There's no dark side to God. Okay, but let's do the connecting dots, all right? If he's light and there is no darkness in him, then he is life, and that means there is no death in him. So God's work is always to bring death. Life. It was going so well. God's work is always to bring life. Where you see life happening, you see God at work. And if God is also love, then that means God is love and in him there is no hate. In fact, John in 1 John 4 will say God is love in the same way that here he says God is light, because these ideas are all connected to one another. Now, all of this means that God is the source of all light. He is the source of all life, and he's the source of all love. All of it comes from him. Isn't that a crazy thought? So when God first, in Genesis chapter 1, said, "Let there be light," from the God of light, light broke into the darkness. And all light we see today is a derivative, is a gift, is a moment to reflect and see God. The physical light that we have in our world so we can see one another, all of it comes from God because God is the God of light. Here's something important. He is not the source of darkness. God does not create darkness. God creates light. You see, darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is what there is when there is no light. And so there was darkness until God spoke and created the light. So where you see darkness in our world, God is not the source of darkness. He is the source of light. And if that is true, then it's also true that God is not the source of hate in our world. He's the source of love. All love comes from God. Where you see any love at all of it comes from the God of light. When you see any hate, it does not come from God. And similarly, God is the God of life. Where you see life, as we've given thanks to God today for Noah, as we say thank you to God for new life, God gave that. All life is from God. God is not the source of death. God does not create death. In fact, the reality is, if you want to know where those things came from, it was when human beings turned away from the God of light, life, and love that we brought into this world darkness and death and hate. Those things, the opposites of who God is, are what human beings have done in our sinfulness, when rather than worship the God of light, life, and love, instead we chose to go our own way. We chose to live for ourselves. We chose to do what we wanted. And so we have introduced to this world darkness, death, and hate. Now, can you begin to see why this is good news? Can you begin to see that in our world, where we look around us, and we look at the news, and we look at our personal lives, and I don't know about you, but I can see darkness in my heart. I can see death at work in my heart and in my world around me. I can see hate, where I seek to do harm to others in order that I might have a nice life. I treat others selfishly in order that I might be comfortable. This is what's wrong with our world. Our world is in darkness and death. And hatred, that's the world we live in because we've rejected the God of life, light, and love. So this is the good news our world needs. The good news of the God who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Trouble is, there's a lot of darkness in each of us. And so what does God do? Here's the great message of Christmas. Ashish has already told us it. Here's the great message of Christmas. The God of light, life, and love comes into the world of death, darkness, and hate. And he brings healing. He brings power. He brings salvation into this world. In fact, back in verse 2 of 1 John, he says, "This life appeared." The life appeared in our world. The one who is the very source of light, life, and love came in person. And Jesus walked this world. Can you picture it? Jesus, the one in whom there was no darkness at all. A human being who is only light and life and love. And everywhere Jesus went and everything Jesus touched, he brought light and he brought life and he brought love everywhere he went. This is the gospel we believe. This is the Jesus we worship. This is the one that we love. This is the one we celebrate at Christmas. And yet this one, this awesome God come in human form, this light, life, and love God, descended even to death himself. You see, Jesus knew the only way to save this world, the only way to bring us from death to life, the only way to do it was for him to come into our death. and to face our death on the cross and to take the crushing weight of death in his body on the cross. And so Jesus died in darkness, death and darkness, as he was hated by this world that he'd made. And there at the cross, the God of light, life, and love bore on his shoulders the death, hate, and darkness that we have committed. He took all of it. It crushed him. And then he rose again so that he could say to you, I am the God of light, life, and love. And light will always beat darkness. And life will always beat death. And love will always beat hate. So will you come and become part of my kingdom, he says. A kingdom now where we live in light and life, love. That's the announcement. That's why John can summarize his message as God is light. There is no better news for the world to hear. That's it. He's light. There's hope. In your darkness, there's hope. Because there's a God of light who's not abandoned you. That's the big announcement. Let's now just see the challenge and the encouragement. We'll do these quickly. Verse 6, here's the challenge. If that is true, if God is the God of light, and it is true, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. John, as he writes his letter, knows that there is a deep, deep danger in all of our hearts. And that is the danger of fooling ourselves, of living a lie, of claiming to be something that we're not. This is what happens, right? On countless CVs, as people claim to be something they're not as they apply for jobs. And one of my favorite moments on The Apprentice is that moment when they fill in their CV and then they're interviewed and the interviewer just rips them to shreds. My favorite was a guy who said, I can do a Rubik's Cube. I mean, why he even put that on it? Why he thought that was impressive? Anyway, so the interviewer just gave him a Rubik's Cube and said, do it. And he couldn't. And it was like, so painful. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was great. But here's the danger, right? Far more seriously, that we might claim something that isn't true. That we might claim to have fellowship with the God of light. That is, that we might say, oh yeah, I love God. I really love him. Yeah, I know God. I'm a Christian. There are countless people all over this world who are saying, yeah, yeah, I love God. I love God. But John says, but if you claim to love him, you claim to have fellowship with him, you claim to be in relationship, and you walk in darkness, then it's a lie. It's a lie. And we do not live out the truth. Now, this is a strong thing for John to say, and you might say to me, well, how do I know? How do I know if I am walking in the darkness? Well, ask yourself, are you walking in the light? Are there things in your life that you know the God of light says are darkness? Are there ways that you're behaving? Here's a good test to analyze your heart. Are there things that you're hiding? Things that you're pretending, that you put on your good show when other people are around, but the reality inside is that you're not. And you hide it from everybody else. And you can put on the act and you can pretend to be it. But John says it's not true. Are there ways that you're being harsh with others, selfish? Are there ways that you're bringing death into this world? Or are there ways that you're acting in hatred towards others? You see, this John is saying, if God is the God of light, life, and love, then if we know him, then we cannot walk this way. I wonder this afternoon, will we let God lovingly say to us, are you pretending? Are you claiming to be something you're not? We need to take this warning seriously. But before you all freak out, because pretty much most of us in this room at this point are ready to go, yeah, I am. I know there's things in my life that I'm wrong. John is such a great pastor because he warns, he says, if you claim it and it's not, and you're walking, then you lie. But then look at the encouragement. Look at the encouragement before you freak out and leave, or before you suddenly say, oh no, I'm not really a Christian. Have a look at verse 7. Here we go. Here's the great encouragement. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, two things are true. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What a strange little sentence. If we walk in the light, that is, if we say, God of light and life and love, I want you. I want you to shine on me. I want you to fill me. I want to know you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to listen to your word. I want to walk in your ways. I want your word to be a lamp for my path. I want you to light up my life. I want you. If that's what your heart is saying this afternoon, I want light. God of light, flood my heart with light. If you will walk in the light, his light, we have fellowship with one another. What an odd thing. I'd expect it to say we have fellowship with him, right? If you walk in light, we have fellowship with him. But he doesn't, because in John, the love we have for one another and the love we have for God are completely the same thing. You just can't separate them. He'll say this over and over again. You can't say, oh, I really love God, and then hate you can't. Because loving God and loving one another, having fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, is the same thing. And so John is very happy to say, if we're walking in the light of God, then we'll have fellowship with one another. We'll be brothers and sisters. We'll be close to one another. Our relationships with one another will be sweet. I was very sad this week to read in the paper of a pretty prominent Christian in our country who basically said, I don't really think church is that important. I don't really see the need for church. And I'm like, well, read your Bible. How can you claim to have fellowship with God and yet not have fellowship with one another? These things really matter. And actually, as we are walking in the light, as God is filling us with his spirit, we will then have the opportunity and the power to love one another better. You see, for John, he's going to argue through the rest of this letter that fellowship with one another, loving one another, is the mark of how you know that you have fellowship with God. How do we know that we have fellowship with God if we have fellowship with one another? My confidence in my relationship with God is not a solo sport. I don't sit in a room and go, am I walking in the light? I walk with a bunch of people who are walking in the light. We're a community of light. We're a kingdom of light. How do I know? Because we're together. And light exposes stuff. Light shows up what is true. Light reveals, and so we stop hiding from one another and we confess sin to one another. And we're honest about our struggles. And we're not pretending in a room somewhere on our own to be something we're not. Instead, we are honest and we say, I'm struggling. And the reason you can do that is because, the last little bit, because the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Here is the staggering reality of light. We hide because we're scared of being exposed. But being exposed is the very thing that will remove our impurity. You see, when Jesus gave his life on the cross, when the God of light, life, and love gave his life on the cross in death, darkness, and hate, when he died in our place, he paid for our sin so that he could purify you. He can make you pure. What a stunning word. He wants to make you pure. And you may sit here this afternoon and you may feel unclean. You may feel ashamed. You may feel dirty. You may feel like a failure. You may feel like you've got nothing good to offer Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, my precious daughter and my precious son, come to me, confess your sin, and I will wash you completely clean. I'll make you pure. Here's the great encouragement. If you come to the God of light, life, and love, if you come not hiding, but come with your honest failings, and as you truly are, the God of light, life, and love will purify you completely. Take away all your sin. So that you can have fellowship. So that we can love one another. So this Christmas, right, let's wrap this up. This Christmas, as we celebrate Jesus, let's ask ourselves, are we walking in his light? Where is it this afternoon where you know that you're not in step with him? This afternoon, Jesus says, come back to me. Come back to me and let me purify you. Come and walk with me so that you can have fellowship with one another. You see, when we choose sin, you will move away from your Christian brothers and sisters. When you choose sin, you'll move further and further and further away. But when you come to the light, you have fellowship with one another. Because that's where forgiveness is found. Here is the good news. This is the message we declare. God is light. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not pretend to be something we're not. Instead, let's come and walk in his light and find his forgiveness and joy this Christmas. Why don't we pray together? Heavenly Father, God of light, we worship you. We worship you as the God who is beautiful and pure and perfect, in whom there is no darkness, no shame, no spoiling, no sin. And we ask this afternoon that we would come and walk in your light and experience your light and know that light and life and love purifying us and building us into brothers and sisters who walk together. Lord, please help us this Christmas to worship the light and to love Jesus who came for us. In his name we pray. Amen.